Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm your host, Dr. Valerie Parker Hagen, and it is an amazing Tuesday. I have my co-host back with us, Shirley Carter Powell. Are you there?
I am here. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Okay, you're there in Mississippi.
I'm in Mississippi, yes.
How's the weather there?
It was 82 degrees today. So, you know, and I'm going back to Michigan this weekend, and it's in the 30s and 40s. So I'm trying to mentally prepare myself for it. It's like I've been basking in the sun for the last month almost. And so this is going to be a test for me. To just return from 82 degrees and go into 35 and 40, which I haven't done that in a while. So this is going to be interesting for me to see. But, you know, I'm ready for it.
Well, I have to go to New York in a week ago, Thanksgiving holiday. I haven't been to New York for the holidays in years. But I'm going, and I know it's going to be a little chilly in New York City, but I will be there in Times Square, and I am excited because, you know, it's so festively in New York during the holiday time, so I'm excited and looking forward to that. You know, it is a wonderful thing when you're able to be grown. I talk about this all the time,
yeah.
Shirley, to be grown, don't have to have any limitations. We've lived our life. We've failed. We've risen to our greatest self. And then we are in our twilight years, and we didn't always know what our purpose was, but I knew there was always more. I always thirsted for something more. And it is amazing how I was able to transcend from where I was to where I am now. I found myself a young bride at 22, and I thought that was it. I was looking forward to being a mother. I was so excited, and, you know, being a wife, I love to cook. I love to, you know, decorate the house. It was just such an exciting time for me, and then it all went south. It went tragic, so my dreams of bliss and living happily ever after soon crumbled, and I found myself standing alone after being married for 19 years and a victim of domestic violence, and I was wondering, what's next? What is my purpose? Why am I here? I know there's more. There was just a thirst and a hunger, and I was like, God, what is it? And then I met Les Brown, and he changed my life. You know, you're always one person away from a breakthrough. And he was my breakthrough, and I've had the opportunity to work with him for over 20 years. And the journey has been absolutely amazing. And, I mean, although my past was, I had some ups and I had some downs, it was kind of tragic, it was very bittersweet, but I take away the glory because it helped. I take with me the glory because it created my story. And my story has allowed me to travel the world and meet exciting, wonderful, beautiful, amazing people. And I wouldn't change that for the world. I had the opportunity of meeting Alisa Rajkutku a couple of weeks ago, and she was on the show briefly last week. And she is such a beautiful queen. I was just so blown away with her story. I asked her to come on the show last week, and then here I brought her back again. Alisa, are you here?
I am. Thank you, Valerie.
It is such a pleasure and honor to be able to speak with you tonight, because I know you will transform some lives with your story. After you on the show last week, I got texts and emails and like, what happened to this and what happened to that? So I said, you know what, I'm going to bring up and then let her talk and share and hopefully break through what happened, because when you go through situations in life, it is hard for you at the time, and you wonder, why me, why me? That's what I used to say. I don't understand why I'm going through this. You look around, and you see other people that are horrible people, and they seem to be getting over. But then, you know, now that I went through some things and came out of some things, I'm able to understand that that's what the process was all about. Life is a process, and unfortunately, we don't get to pick and choose how we process our life in order to get to that purpose that God intended for us. We go through some valleys, we climb up some mountains, and we fall down and roll down some hills. But if we stay true and listen to the still small voice in our ear, we'll be able to transcend out of that. So, Alisa, you are accredited journalist.
Yes, I am.
And was a member of the White House, and a member of the White House Press. So tell us about your journey of how you were able to be in this arena where you're able to rub shoulders with political people.
It was just a decision. I think that's what it comes down to, Valerie. You know, when you make the decision to not let anything stop you and to use your pain to push you into your purpose, that's when things change. That's when you break through. That's when the universe or God or whatever you call it sends people into your life like angels to help you pursue your dreams and to help you make things happen. And that's exactly what I would say to this. You know, I cannot think of any time in my life where I can actually feel like I took credit for something, because a lot of times I look back and I look back at my past and I'm like, oh my gosh, how did I do that? How was that possible? And it's always that you just made a decision that this is where I want to go. This is where I see myself going. This is where my calling is. This is what the inner voice is telling me to do. Whether you understand why you're doing what you're doing or why you're going where you're going, you just do it without asking any questions. And you end up reaching a destination where you don't, you know, that blows your mind. And that's exactly what happened with this. So, yes, I am an accredited member of the White House Press Corps, and I traveled and reported overseas during the Obama administration. And now I'm at a place in my life where I want to use my voice, and my mission is to use my voice to be the voice for the voiceless, because at one point in time, that was me. I didn't have a voice. And I want to empower girls and women worldwide, and I want to speak on constraints that face women and girls around the world, and to let them know that you are everything that you want to be. You know, you have greatness within you, and don't let anybody tell you that you cannot do something because you're a woman or because you're a girl, but know that you can do it because you are a woman. You understand how powerful you are, and a lot of times we don't have people to tell us that. Just the way I grew up, I didn't have anybody telling me that. And so, you know, I have to thank my angels and my guides today for bringing me to where I am.
Well, you know, you said you bring your upbringing. Share with the audience your upbringing and why you're so passionate about empowering women.
Definitely, Valerie. So I grew up, I actually had a really happy childhood from what I remember up until the age of 11. My parents were together. You know, we had this happy life. We lived in Thailand. That's where I was born and raised. And from what I remember, we would go to the beach every weekend. And when I turned 10, my parents decided to move to Dallas, Texas, and we lived in Dallas for a year. Mm-hmm. I would have to say that that was probably the best year of my life. It was the first time that I went to a school where I felt like the teachers saw me for who I was and empowered me as a person. But one day, my dad came home. He was on a trip. He was supposed to be on a trip with my mother to Thailand. They had their own business. And he came home after his week-long trip and sat us all together in the living room and told me that my mom just walked off. So instead of her flying to see him, he was already in Thailand. My older brother went to drop her in the airport, and instead of getting on the flight, she disappeared. And so everything changed from that day. My dad flew us to Thailand almost instantly. So the next few days, you know, was chaotic. He packed a few of our things, flew us to Thailand, and dropped me and my brother at a religious community. I'm going to call it a more of a cult, is what I see now that I'm out. And our schedules in the community were rigid. We would wake up at 5 a.m., you know, shower, pray, get ready for school. And we would go on the, to school on a bus, on a school bus, with all of the other kids who lived in this community. We were told to not really have any friends outside of our community. They didn't want us to hang out with anybody. And so I was always the odd one out because I didn't get along with anyone, and I always wanted to make friends. I was a social butterfly since back then. And I would come home and I would get in trouble all the time. One day I came home and this was when I just turned 12. I came home and they called me into the house of the religious leader. That's where a lot of the congregation would be held. And I was told that I was engaged. And I was 12 years old. I didn't really know what to do or how to react. And I wasn't the only girl who was engaged at that age. There was one other girl who was only 11 who was engaged, and two or three others who were 13. And we were all engaged to men who were at least 5 years older than us. And I was engaged to the nephew.
So your mother actually abandoned you.
Yes, so she left. She abandoned us. From what I found out after, I didn't see her for a few years, but from what I found out after, she fought for custody for us, which she won, but my dad pretty much kidnapped us and took us to Thailand, and so she didn't get to see us for a few years after that.
Okay. Okay, so I was like, okay, did you ever reconnect with your mother?
Mm-hmm.
And did she ever say why she walked off?
She said it was an abusive relationship, that my father was abusive, and the culture and the community, and it was just too much for her.
Mm-hmm.
So I was then engaged to the nephew of a religious leader, and so, you know, from this broken family to being engaged to this prestigious family, my father and my brothers, they were overjoyed. They were happy, and I'm not going to lie, my dad was in depression for the longest time. All I remember him growing up was him watching TV every day and not getting up. And so in my mind, as a 12-year-old girl, I saw him happy, that made me happy.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't say anything about it. I wanted my father to be happy. All of that turned south really, really soon. All I remember was I came home this other day because I was in trouble for going out with my friends from school, which I was not allowed to. And so I was taken into the room of this religious leader, and I was yelled at for hours. After they were done yelling at me, they left the room and left me in the room alone with this religious leader, who I thought would yell at me as well. And instead of doing that, he went to his bed and laid down and told me to come and sit next to him. And he told me that he understood and that he knows that I'd made a mistake. After that, every day I'd come back from, whenever I'd come home from school, same thing. He'd call me into his room and we'd talk for hours. He'd tell me his legs were hurting or his arms were hurting. And in my religious culture, when a religious leader says that, you do seva, which is called a selfless act. So you give a massage to your elders. And so that's what I did. And then one day he moved my hand and put it on his hard-on. And I was shocked. That was the day everything started.
How old were you then?
I was 12. I was still 12.
But 12?
He, 12 years old. I looked at him shocked, and he looked at me and cupped my face with his hands and told me that he could see my karma, my destiny, he said, and that I would become a sinner just like my mother. And that whatever he's going to do for me was him washing away my sins. My dad respected him. Everybody respected him. And so I trusted him. So this went on for months, Valerie. I would come home from school, shower, get dressed up. He'd call me into his room and tell me that he would wash away my sins. And he told me he would teach me what to do. Mm-hmm. So I grew up thinking that I was a sinner, that I was going to go to hell, that I had terrible karma. And so one day he took my hand and told me, you know, use your hands, do this, use your mouth, do that. And he told me it was our little secret. He told me no one would understand that I was special and that he was washing away my sins. And I believed him. After he was done, he would look at me with disgust and shake his head and say, "You liked that, didn't you?" I wouldn't know what to say.
So he
I
was
just
tearing you down from the inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Inside out.
I would not know what to say. And so I just looked at him. And he said, "Yes, you do." This went on for years. On the other hand,
now, did you ever marry him?
Mm-hmm. I married, yes. So
you married
the
nephew?
No, I got married to his nephew when I was 17.
Did his nephew know what was going on?
No, he didn't. It was going on. It had gone on for so long that in my mind it was already embedded that I was a sinner and that he was washing away my sins. And the fact that he said that it was our secret and that no one would understand, it was as if, to me, it kind of all felt normal at the time, Valerie. You know, I didn't know any better.
Right.
Every time I would look in the mirror, I would just... I don't even know how to explain it. I would just feel grateful that someone is taking care of me. And that's kind of how I felt the whole time. But I would feel like this dirty person, like this terrible person, like this evil person that needed all of that to be done to me. I was married at 17 and I had my son straight after. And we were married for 12 years before I decided enough was enough. During those 12 years, I those were some rough 12 years. I tried to, you know, I had suicidal thoughts a few times. I didn't know who to talk to. And in my culture, you have to pretend everything is okay. So here I was pretending.
I was getting ready to say, is this very prevalent in your country?
Is it very what? I'm sorry?
Prevalent. Is this type of behavior very prevalent in your culture?
As in arranged marriages?
Where it happens, where the sexual abuse happens all the time, where it's a natural act. Or was this just basically an isolated incident where do you know that there are many women that come from your country that have experienced the same thing? Your mother said it was an abusive relationship. Do you think mm-hmm. that she went through some of the same things you experienced as well as other women?
I'm sure. I am sure that there are a lot of women who experience this, Valerie, but coming from the culture that I come from, there is a lot of shame in talking about it.
Yeah.
And so
we are
taught to not bring anything up. And so I told my family for the first time, which was really just 3 months ago, Valerie.
Wow.
3 months ago, they did not believe me. A lot of my family members are forbidden to talk to me. And, you know, in a way I understand, I lived in that culture. This person is so respected and they worship him like he's God. Not even like he is God for them. And so here is this one girl saying that this is what this person did to me. But I was only able to face it myself when I turned 30. I'm 35 right now.
Wow,
and,
so you've been free.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. And I know that now, you know, I used to ask the same question like you did, why me? But then why not me? Why would it happen to anybody? Why should it happen to anybody else? And then you end up using your pain to push you forward, you know, because I know that you can either be a victim of your pain or you can be the hero of your life. And I choose to be the hero of my life, Valerie.
Yeah.
All I can say is, yes, I was abused, but I am here today and I'm healthy and I'm intelligent and I am beautiful and I am strong.
Yes, you are indeed. Shirley?
I am, you know, I'm in awe that for so long you had to endure that and keep it a secret at such a young age. And I'm listening to you talk about the situation you were put in and, you know, when you're talking about not being able to communicate and socialize with anyone outside of that group. You know, as you say, as you got older, you realize it was a cult. And everything that you're seeing is a typical situation that takes place in a cult. The religious leader usually is the one who molests the young girls. And it was only by God's grace that you did not get pregnant by him. And to take innocence, all your innocence, and to make you feel like you were such a sinner and that he was cleansing you of your sins, but all the time he was just pleasing himself. And, you know, my heart goes out to you to know that you just told your family about it. And then now to be dealing with it, it's like reopening wounds that you had suppressed for years. Yes. And you're healing. So my question to you, and I know we got audience that have had similar situations. Do you have anything that you can say to our audience as far as how do you tell your family? How do you step forward? Do you seek counseling first? and then come forth? Or I'm not sure what to say as far as what could you share with us as far as
what do you do?
How do you, what do you do? Definitely. How do you approach your family and tell them?
I the first thing is to accept what happened, and the reason why I didn't talk about it until I was 30 was because I myself didn't accept that it happened. I still had this religious leader's photo in my apartment. I was still lighting candles and praying in front of him and feeling like a sinner because I left the community, you know, and then I started counseling because I started having nightmares when my son turned 12, and I didn't understand why I was having nightmares and why it was triggering all of this. But one night I screamed and I was crying in my sleep, which is what generally happened when I was having, when I would have nightmares. My son heard me from the next room, and this happened a week in a row. Every day for a week, he would come into my room and wake me up like, "Mama, Mama, wake up. Why are you crying?" And he would scare him. And this is a 12-year-old being scared because his mom is crying, you know? And so at that point, I knew I needed to go to counseling. I didn't understand exactly why. And after a year after a year of being in counseling was when I actually opened up to my counselor about everything that happened. And it was because I told her, I want to be able to make a difference in the lives of people. I want to be able to help people. I want to, and she would always question me like, okay, but what is your why? What is your purpose? And those were the questions that started me thinking. And, you know, the time after that, when I went to her, I said, I can't tell you. Because when I look at myself, I see a freak. If I tell you, what is that going to make me? That's just going to solidify that I'm terrible in some way, you know? And we started talking, and then I told her exactly what happened. And, you know, she was the one who was like, you do realize you were a child. That is, none of that is your fault. And that was a breakthrough. That was a breakthrough for me. I'd never had anybody tell me that before. But you definitely have to accept it yourself first. And, you know, after that, slowly, after a couple of months of counseling with her, then I started telling my friends what happened. And once you start talking and once you open up, once you start using your voice, there is no going back. There is no going back. And then I know that there is this force that guides you and uses your pain and pushes you into your purpose. And oftentimes I feel like our biggest childhood pains we experience are simply the things that define our future values. And that is why I'm doing what I am today. And that is why I want to make a difference, you know. And I feel like I owe it to that little girl. I owe it to the little girl who didn't have anybody to go to and who didn't have anyone who stood up for her. And there's so many people in the world who are going through the same thing. So that is my why. Yes. I have to help those little girls. And by helping others, I am healing myself.
I mean,
go ahead.
When I hear you say by speaking out, you helped another, but you're also healing yourself. And that resonated in my mind. It takes me back to when I start speaking. Then it is so true. When you find your voice and the more you speak on it, the stronger you become. Yeah. And that's when you let go of your past. Because it cannot, you know, because if you don't, it dictates your future. And to speak on it is to gain your power and get your voice back. Because through your voice, you're powerful. You're more powerful than you think you are. And a lot of people don't say anything, right, in fear of someone's opinion, and that stifles them. And like you said, when you speak, you're beginning to push yourself into your purpose. And the more you speak, the more you recognize what your purpose is. And that everyone goes through a journey, and what, you know, I've heard this years and years ago. They said, whatever don't kill you just makes you stronger. And I never could understand that. And I say, you know, some things hurt, you know, and they hurt in many forms, physically, you know, and yeah. mentally, and your soul hurts. But mm-hmm. to come through and to be able to speak, you know, I have a 7-year-old granddaughter. That's, you know, my oldest granddaughter is 7. And then I think about you at 12, being engaged at 12. You know, is I think about it, what I was doing at 12. I was too busy being a kid and trying mm-hmm. to be a little entrepreneur and everything at 12, you know, to be thinking about marriage. And all your power was taken from you. Mm-hmm. Everything, your voice, everything was taken from you. Your innocence. And to regain, and now you're 35 years old, and you're speaking of it, you didn't give up.
Yeah.
So many people give up. You did not give up.
I have
and
to
that
say that it
can help so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's definitely, you know, a lot of people feel ashamed of the things that happened to them, and I know that it's the day that you stop feeling shame for your story. Because those things happen to me and those things happen to you for no reason. But what are you going to
mm-hmm.
do today? How are you going to
yeah.
use that pain to make a difference in the world, to make a difference in someone else's life, so someone else doesn't have to go through the kind of pain that you went through?
Yeah, it sounds like you realize that's where you were and that's what happened to you, but that's not who you are. And that's one of the things that your perpetrator tried to do is impress upon you, weakening you from the inside out, to think that your life didn't matter, that you had no value, you had no worth. But then you rose up and realize mm-hmm. that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, that you are beautiful, you're worthy of love, to be loved by someone, and for you to give love where it be a mutual agreement between two hearts, uniting into one, not being forced to love or saying this is the person you're going to marry and then hoping one day you fall in love with them. So with your husband, being that you're being open now and talking about it,
mm-hmm.
does he know now, or how, or would you even consider communicating that to him?
I'm sure he knows now, Valerie. Everybody knows. When I told my family, the cult or the community is very close-knit. And so they definitely had a lot of discussions because I posted, you know, when they had the hashtag MeToo and everybody was telling their stories or how they've been abused and sexually harassed. And
wow.
I posted something very little. It wasn't even in great detail of what happened. Just in along the lines of, you know, it happened to me too, and he was someone I trust, and he was someone from the community. And my brother called me and yelled at me, and the first thing he did when he called me was take that post down right now. And I said, wait, hold on a minute, like, do you want to at least ask me and talk to me about why I posted that? And he didn't. All he did was yell at me. So they had a huge meeting in that congregation. And I'm sure they're still trying to figure out how to take me down because it's not good for them and it's terrible publicity. And I was in that community, and so I understand how they work. So I'm sure they're planning something right now.
So let me ask you, the people that were posting about abuse, sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
were they a part of your community or were they outside the community and you said me too?
They were just people on Facebook, you know, random people, friends that I know on Facebook.
Okay.
And mm-hmm. yeah, people
okay.
from my community, no, they don't post things like that.
Okay.
Okay.
So where do you go from here?
where do I go from here? I just keep
Yeah,
I
what are your aspirations
going.
Are the things you want to do? And being that you have a son, how do you think that what you've gone through, you'll be able to protect him because they're still your relatives? And the alliances you had were in that community. That's something that he's familiar with. How do you think that he'll be able to transcend out of that?
So I am now a Les Brown certified inspirational speaker, trainer, and coach. And my goal is to just keep inspiring and to keep helping and to make a difference, Valerie. That is where I'm going to go from here. This is really just the beginning. I'm just getting started. And if anybody thinks they can shut me up, then they definitely have something else coming for them. You know, and my son knows enough of what happened. And all I can say is God is my protector. And
yes,
he is very powerful. And I am not scared of anybody. I know that he's taken care of me before and he's helped me before, and I choose not to live in fear, Valerie.
Yeah.
I lived in fear my whole life, and today I choose not to live in fear. I choose to live in faith, and I chose to step out in faith, and he's taken care of me ever since.
Yeah, you're choosing to be great, and I keep telling the audience, greatness is a choice, and you have to choose it, and in choosing it means you have to have the courage to rise up above the situation and the circumstance with a no matter what attitude. Be relentless, be unstoppable, and don't be moved by the haysayers and the hecklers.
No, I mean, people, if I listen to all the people talking about me and calling me names and saying all the different things I'm making up, you know, I wouldn't be where I am today, and I choose not to listen to them because they do not define me. They are not who I am, and they are not going to be the ones who are doing what I'm, who are going on with this journey and accomplishing all these things that I know that I've set out to accomplish. And on the other hand, I'm at a point now where I've forgiven everything that has happened to me. And I love what I heard at the seminar that we were just at, Valerie. Someone said, forgiveness is not forgetting. Forgiveness is remembering without anger.
Yes. Yes. And that's where I've been, and I had to learn that because, you know, I got getting back to the why, and why does it seem like they're doing so well and here I am struggling and I'm dealing with these issues because you hurt me. And the person, 99% of the time that hurts you, has no idea of the severity of the hurt. They just do it with no thought. That's why you see people randomly killing and shoot. They have no conscience. It's like, you know, I just did it. It's just like being a bully. Oh, I beat this girl up today. I beat this guy up today. And they go home, eat, watch TV, have a ball with their family, and then come back and want to do it again the next day. No conscience. But
if
we keep talking, if we keep standing up for ourselves, if we keep saying no more, then we can stop it from happening to other people. And I do applaud you and thank you for your courage to rise up, and not just rise up, but get out and do something with your life. You didn't go and sit in a corner and lick your wounds and say, you know, the world is laughing at me and feel inferior, but you rose up and say, I am strong, I'm victorious, I'm going to make something of my life. It's not just about me, it's about my son. It's not just about my son, it's about the women and the children that are being sexually abused every single day that have grown up with this terrible secret, with the insecurities of life because this happened, and feeling that the world is against them, and the embarrassment and the humiliation of it all, and saying, I am going to cry loud, I'm going to speak, and I'm going to yell, and I'm not going to stop until someone hears me. And I salute you for that, my queen. You are a beautiful queen indeed.
Thank you, Valerie. And, you know, I want to tell our listeners that I know that it's not hard. I mean, it's not easy. The journey is
definitely
hard. And there's still, no, there are still days where, and I was just telling someone on my team member, and you, what's important is you have to have a tribe. And I feel like I finally found a tribe. But I was just telling my team members, and now that I'm talking about all of this, you know, there are days where I, like, I'm getting the nightmares again. Or I wake up and it's overwhelming. And she said, well, if you don't get out of bed, you're stuck in that story. So get out of bed and do something about it. And, you know, so I'm choosing to do something about it. And I know that I will help others and I will stay strong because I need to be the voice for people who are voiceless, just like I was once upon a time.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm thanking you, because so many people succumb to the battery, to the hatred that was inflicted upon them, and they never rise up. They never rise up, and not only do they not rise up, but then they become a product of their environment. They turn around and do the same thing that was done to them because it's learned behavior. So I thank you for choosing life and loving. You know, love makes you do this. You still have a heart that's pure and innocent, and God can move and do great and mighty things through you. And I thank you for being that vessel, for being that funnel that lives can be transformed through. How can individuals get in contact with you?
They can email me. My email address is my last name, so Rajkitkul, RajkitKul.Alisa, ALISA@gmail.com. And send me as many emails as you want. I promise I will respond.
Awesome. Yes, I'd like those of you that listening to her, and she just gave the email, or you could email me at soultopics@gmail.com because it's easier to write down and remember. soultopics@gmail.com and say, I want to connect with Alisa. I will make sure she gets the email so that she can respond to you. Because, you know, I know this is a radio show and you can talk anonymously. Matter of fact, if any of my audience wants to ask a question or have a comment or may want to share a couple of minutes of testimony about your escape, you can do so by pressing 1 and I will put you in queue. You can press 1 and I will put you in queue. So if you you know, have a story that you want to share as it relates to this situation to empower one another, it would be great. It would be amazing, as because iron sharpens iron. Lisa talked about a tribe. We all need tribes. We all need individuals to help pull us around. It's no longer I, but we. And one of the things that the enemy, the boogeyman inside, tries to get us to think is that we're the only ones. I stayed in my abusive marriage because I thought I was the only one going through it. Who would have thought that a minister's wife and in the church would have been a victim of domestic violence? I didn't even know what it was, but I knew it was not right, but I didn't have a voice. I didn't know what to do with something that was not talked about. It was something that was never discussed. It was something that I wasn't raised around. So therefore, it was, I locked myself up in an emotional vault, and I carried it around, making myself a prisoner. And I thank you, Alisa, for not allowing yourself to be a prisoner in your mind, in your spirit, or your soul.
Thank you, Valerie. I truly appreciate that.
Now, is there a book coming?
Yes, there is. I'm actually working on it right now. I'm almost halfway done. So,
awesome.
Next year, with God's grace, by next year it will be out.
And that was going to be my question. That was going to be my question to her about the book, because one of the things when you were talking about how the nightmares are coming back and you're waking up in the middle of the night and everything, I want to share this with you. Mm-hmm. That is your time. That is your time, your personal time. Keep a pad, laptop, or whatever you're working on with your book. When that happens, write. That is your time.
Mm-hmm.
You're alone in the middle of the night when that happens, that dream happens. It is your time to write because it is fresh in your mind and it recalls. So to get it out there, write. And then you'll be able to lay down and go back to sleep in peace.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to get it out. So that's
your cue. Yeah, it's just like journaling.
To write.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes, that's great advice. Definitely, and that's...
Journaling
you know,
is therapy.
Journaling. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
And
you know,
put them together because a lot of times...
Right.
You have to write what hurts and put it on paper, and then once it's on paper and you look at it, then it no longer becomes a secret. It no longer becomes a threat. You see it, you acknowledge it, you own it, and then you release it.
Right.
That is a fact. You know, if you want to look at it from an optimistic point of view, that's great content right there.
Yes, it is.
That's what I try to tell myself when I wake up from all these nightmares. I'm like, you know, it's okay. Just write it down and you can use that. Just like everything else that's going on, use it. Exactly. Use it. Use your pain.
It took me, I wrote my book. And it took me 7 years to release it because I didn't think that anyone would want to read about domestic violence. I didn't think, number one, like I said, that it was happening. And I was amazed that after I published the book, how many people said, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And these were prominent people that I thought that would never, ever have gone through anything like that or even be willing to even say it happened. And I know it was a good thing and wound up being a bestseller because 10,000 copies is a bestseller. 5,000 copies is a bestseller. But I sold
mm-hmm.
over 10,000. And I, you know, I was just blown away. And it wasn't just women that bought the book. Men bought the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have men call me and talk to me about the book. And that's one of the ways they found out that there were things going on with their spouse because there goes that emotional vault we lock away. And what happens is when you're in a relationship, it opens up. And some of the things that I talked about in the book, they can identify and relate to. And I'll never forget, this young man called me and he said, thank you for writing your book. It taught me how to treat my wife.
Wow.
I will never, ever forget him calling me and saying those words to me because when he said that, it made me know that I had value. What I had to say was relevant. And if he felt that way and strong enough to pick up the phone and call me, then I knew that other men that got the book felt the same way.
I believe, Valerie, that if our story can change or help even one person, you know, that is, you can consider yourself a success. And the fact that you've changed so many people's lives and you've helped so many people with your book, that is amazing.
Yes, yeah, God is amazing because he held my hand through the storms, through the fire. He walked with me through the ups, the downs. I always felt God's presence in the midst of my storm. I knew there was someone watching me. I said that my angels were always on assignment. They were just waiting for me to cry out and say help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens to a lot of us, that our voice is taken, we're silenced and we're muted, and we don't know how to say help because the word has been snatched from my vocabulary and from our mental thought of process. And that's why we stay in bondage, because our voice has been snatched away. But I'm encouraging those that are tuning in and have listened and to go back and replay the previous show and replay this show if you know someone is going through some of the same ordeal, or you suspect that something may be going on. Email this show to them and say, just listen. And I pray that it inspires and sets the captives free. And Alisa, I would like for you to give your contact information once again for the listening audience.
My email is rajkitkul.alisa@alisa.com. Or you can go onto my website and send me a message through there. It's Alisa Rajkitkul. Again, my first name, my last name, .com.
Thank you so much for joining us. And my dear queen, regardless of what happens from here, your voice has been heard. And this show is international. So you have made a global impact, and that's something that can never be taken away from you.
Thank you, Valerie. Thank you for having me on the show.
Awesome. I have been talking to Alisa Rajkitkul, and she is a multimedia journalist who has escaped a traumatic past and has risen to become the queen that she is, to empower and impact the lives of men and women. And if you want to connect with her, you can look her up with her email address, or you can email soultopics@gmail.com, and I'll make sure she gets the message. And I'd also like to invite you to Soul Retreat 2017. It is December 16th. It begins at 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. I have some powerful speakers on the roster for that event. And also we will end up with a party. We're going to celebrate where we've been and where we want to go, and it is going to be an amazing event. You can go to soulofawoman.com. That is from the soulofawoman.com for further information. I have Deborah King, who will be joining us, Jose and Andre Flores, Dr. J.R. Thicklin, Mari Wallen, Eula Murray. It is just going to be amazing. And trust me, if you have enjoyed my show and different speakers that I've brought to you, you know that when I have an event, I bring the best speakers that will empower and inspire you for next level motivation. We all have greatness in us, but we don't know what key to put into the door to open that lock so that we can open that door and walk through. So that is the purpose for Soul Retreat 2017. We are going to rise as a phoenix. We're going to take back everything we think has been lost or stolen from us, taken from us. It is our time. 2018 is right around the corner, and it's time to open that door and step into greatness, regardless of what's going on around us, regardless of the situations or the circumstances. We have the power to live our dreams. We can live our dreams. We can live our dreams. And our guest just shared her powerful story. She beat the odds, and she is fighting for her life because she knows that it's greater than her. We should all strive to leave a legacy, not only for our children, but for our children's children and those individuals that we will encounter. So I thank you all for tuning in and joining another Hot Topics from the Soul, A Thirst for Purpose. Go to the website, download it, and email it to someone, because I know there are plenty of people that are walking around in darkness trying to find their way, and this show will unlock some doors and unleash the greatness in them. Shirley, you have any closing comments?
I just want to say to Alisa, continue to use your voice and continue to write your book, because there's so many people that need to hear what you have to say. And there's men and women that need to hear your story. And I thank you for being so transparent with us and our audience and sharing with us. You know, I know there's so much more, but what you did share was enough to give us a vision of what's been going on in your life, and to be and have the strength that you have today. You know, I salute you as a young lady with a powerful story to tell that's going to help so many people more than you can even imagine, that it's going to bring so many people through and be able to share their story and have a voice, and that they don't have to go through what you went through. God bless you, and may he continue to give you the strength you need to carry through and complete your purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Shirley. I'd like to close with one of my favorite quotes by Marion Williamson that says, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are more powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing in light nor shrinking that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that it was within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And we let our own light shine. We unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated, our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others." Thank you for joining and tuning in for Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night, and God bless. Until Tuesday.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.